In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast. Праздник. This morning in the Gospel reading, our Lord tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a rich master who decides to go on a trip, and before he does so, he leaves a portion of his wealth to his servants. Some of those servants are good and faithful, and those servants, they double the master's investment. The one servant, we are told, takes his talent and he buries it in fear. And on the master's return, that servant is cast out of the household and his talent is given to the good and faithful servants who have done well with what the master has given to them. The endings in this parable are either really good or really terrible. Either the servants are made rulers over many things and are invited to enter into the joy of their Lord. Or the servants are cast into the outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And speaking of weeping and gnashing of teeth, today is the date of our annual parish meeting. I find that to be amazing. On a day set aside for us to consider our plans for this upcoming year, to pass budgets, to reflect on reports that have been written carefully and with prayer. A day where we will discuss proposals about renewing iconography, renewing our commitment to go and baptize the nations. On this day, we hear the parable of the talents. The priest does not get to pick the gospel lesson. We hear about the good and faithful servants. We hear about the wicked and lazy servant. And certainly part of what it means to be one of these good and faithful servants is to gather as a family when it is time to make sure that the house is in order. These parish meetings, they may not be the highlight of your year. You may have memories from the distant past of parish meetings that really were full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes just sitting through one of these annual meetings can seem a little bit like that outer darkness that we are warned about by our Lord. But the word which comes to us this day from Christ is that, you know what? All of that is okay. In Jesus Christ, as we hear time and time again, we heard it last week in the epistle, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, free man nor slave. But you know what? We're still human beings, and we still disagree, and that's okay. It has always been this way. Growing into a good and faithful servant is never easy, but it's always worth it. Figuring out the truth, adopting new plans and policies and programs, church life is very often a full contact sport. It always has been that way. It was this way even in the age of the apostles, the earliest years of the church. There was no golden era where there was no disagreement among brothers and sisters. Go back and read the Acts of the Apostles. Go back and read the letters of St. Paul. In those first years, Paul fought with Peter. Peter fought with James. Sometimes Peter agreed with Paul. Sometimes Peter agreed and sided with James. Even the great apostolic leaders of the church, they disagreed, and when they disagreed, they did so fiercely. From these earliest days, when there were disagreements among the apostles themselves, guess what? They gathered together in holy assembly. The first example in our tradition of such an assembly occurs in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. This is about the year 48. It's only 15 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. Peter and Paul and James, the three great apostles, the three great leaders of the church, they gather together in what we now call the Council of Jerusalem. And the matter before them, which had inspired all of this fierce disagreement, was whether Gentile Christians, these new Christians, should be required to obey the full body of Jewish law, or whether the old law was no longer binding on the new Christians. And these men of God, they deliberated, they prayed together, and they reached an agreement. And then they wrote down what their decision was so that it could be proclaimed to the churches. And guess what that letter did not say? It did not say, by a vote of 27-13, we have reached a decision. It did not say that through a series of backroom deals and secret promises, we have reached a compromise. It did not say that through the creative use of parliamentary procedure and caucusing, we have reached a delicate agreement on just a few of the items that are of interest. Their proclamation did not say that the loudest voices, the oldest families, and the deepest pockets have won the day. There was no gridlock, no party politics, no lobbyists, no pork barreling to sweeten the deal. At this Council of Jerusalem, there in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, we have a model for all church assemblies, and there it was not business, and it was not politics as usual. Instead, the brothers, they gathered, and they prayed, and they worshiped, and they listened. And at the end of the day, the Apostle James, as leader of the first church, the mother church in Jerusalem, he wrote down the decision that the Gentiles were not bound to the old law. And the reason he gave, James declares that it has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that this be so. It has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that our new brothers and sisters do not first have to become Jews before becoming Christians. It has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that no such great burden needs to be placed on them. It has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. These are the words that distinguish holy assembly from earthly assembly. These are the words which should distinguish parish meetings like ours from every other kind of good meeting, corporate boards, Congress, union shouting matches. For the church, for you and me as members of the body of Christ, the expectation is that at the end of the day, we can also say the same thing. These are our decisions because it has seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit. Seems kind of audacious, though, doesn't it? How can we presume to speak for the Holy Spirit? How is that even possible? Shouldn't we lower our expectations just a little bit? Can't we hold this thing and make it more like a shareholders meeting? It's safer that way. Each person could just simply look to his or her own interests and not have to concern ourselves with whether the Holy Spirit has been acknowledged. In fact, hey, now that we think about it, why should the Holy Spirit get a vote? Does the Spirit pay his dues or give a tithe? Is the Spirit a member in good standing in this parish? Oh, there's the question. There's the question that we should ask ourselves each and every time we gather for a meeting, whether it's big or small, whether the bishops gather, or whether we as a family here at St. Nicholas gather. That's the question. Is the Holy Spirit a member in good standing here at this parish? Does he get a vote? Does he get to participate and guide the deliberations? Does it matter whether anything also really seems good to the Holy Spirit? Brothers and sisters, on this day when the church gives us the parable of the talents, the good and faithful servants, on this day when we are scheduled to hold our parish meeting, on this day it's important to remember this one thing. Holy assemblies, bishops or lay people, it doesn't matter, everything in between. These holy assemblies are not about politics or strategy or even winning. An assembly is always, at least it should always be, about Jesus Christ. It's not about us. The budget, you might think, is about us. It's not. The budget's not about us. The budget is about Jesus Christ. It is a statement of our faith in him. Paying the bills, paying the priest, it's not about us. It's about Christ and whether we trust those words that he is truly in our midst. And the numbers, whether they are strong or whether they are weak, And this year, the numbers are strong, thanks be to God. The numbers are not about us. They are about Jesus Christ. It's always about the gospel of Jesus Christ and of him crucified for the life of the world. Brothers and sisters, each of us should look inside and prepare our own hearts for today's annual meeting in the same way that we prepare for Holy Communion. And let us hear this morning's reading of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians one more time. If the parable of the talents was a timely reading for us this morning, then these verses from Colossians are even more so. Brothers and sisters, writes the Apostle Paul, the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, this peace to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God bless Mr. Robert and his rules of order. But these words of St. Paul, this vision of our communion together in the Lord's joy and love, they express the only parliamentary procedure we really need. Here, there is no darkness, no weeping, no gnashing of teeth. Here, the Holy Spirit is a member in good standing. And may he grant us to see what seems good to him as well. Amen. Joyous feast.